idea of collection rather thin, doesn't it? Everybody has preached a lot of the Bible and done a lot, said a lot of marvelous, wonderful things. Think about Brother Wilson talking about these ships that, and Brother over here, can't think of his name right now. Brother Thompson talking about that you don't have to be afraid of the devil. All these sort of things that pretty well covers just about every angle when you begin to put that together. And then Brother Alexander, by faith, standing and receiving by faith, what more could you ask? By faith. Now, all of these things are instructions in the way that the Lord has set for you and me to walk. The word is it's not going to fail. The word's not going to turn aside. It will always be certain. And whether you and I ever really and truly accept it, it's going to be there anyhow. And the chips that Brother Wilson was talking about, we know they are in existence. Did you have something you can say? All right, let's rise and stand and pray for Brother Brown tonight. Our Father, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus. Let Your healing virtue rest upon me. That life, O God, touch him by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. O God, he is called. He has cried unto Thee, O Lord. He has reached out to Thee. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, You will meet the need for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And amen. You may be seated. Do you believe the Lord heard that prayer? Thank the Lord. That's the whole key. We can pray until our heads, I've heard the expression, pray until our heads drop off. But if we do not believe it, it means nothing. And we can pray for 5 seconds with faith, and God will hear at the appointment of faith. The appointment of faith, God has met it. And I was wondering whether to continue or take along the line that the Lord had given me, and this call just about settled it. I had 2 things in my mind, one a little more strongly than the other, but I want to talk with us a little while tonight and pray that the Lord will help us recognize and realize who we are and what we can do. We can come to the Lord. We can come to the Lord. Brother Brown has called. That means he has come to the Lord. Do you know that? You recognize that? Not here in this building, but in his heart and in his life, he has come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can come. We may gather in this house. We may come around as great bodies, and that's all wonderful and marvelous, but we could still miss God by 1,000 miles, to put it in the vernacular. The thing in coming to God is, it's down in here. Down in here. And let's talk about that a little while tonight as the Lord has given us something, a few things here to say. How many of you ever went to a table and you'd come up there and the cook had done a good job and come up and sit down and say, I don't want that. I don't like that stuff. Forget that. Why didn't you make something else? And I have a feeling that many times we come to the house of God, and in our actions, not with our lips, not with our mouths do we say so, but in our receptivity of the Word of God, we say, I don't want that. That doesn't taste good. I don't like that. So we just lay it aside and go on our way, and many times go away from this place hungry, or that place hungry, wherever we attend the church. We go away hungry simply because we did not open our hearts and lives that God could speak to us and help us to know the way. So tonight, as we have gathered here, all these words that have been said, all the scriptures that have been read, they are for our admonition and our leadership in our hearts to come to Him. And as we pick up these few words tonight that the Lord has given us, let's consider, where and how shall we find a place with God? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us together. Father, In the name of Jesus, we ask you to bring our hearts together, to bring our minds into the presence of the Lord. Let us be lifted up to worship and honor the name of Jesus. Bless his name. Lord, it's in you and you alone that we can have peace. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus now for blessing the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Over in the book of Acts, and this is just a simple little thing to talk about. But the simple thing, as Paul said in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, I didn't come to you with great swelling words and all that sort of thing. I came to you in demonstration and power of the Spirit. So let's look at the simple truth of God for a little while tonight. In Acts chapter 10, commencing at verses 30 through 35, a well-known and many times read and many times preached upon chapter in the Bible. But let's see what the Lord might bring to us tonight out of this. Commencing at 30th verse, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? I want you to catch that. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of the pastor?
Oh, God.
Commanded thee of God. Here was a man that had set his heart and mind, and he'd made up a decision. I don't know that he even attended the, and more than likely he didn't attend the synagogue. He probably wasn't welcome there. Because he was an outcast. He was a man that was not of the group. Therefore, the Jews probably didn't recommend him or didn't accept him into their order. They were willing to receive his alms. They were willing to receive his financial blessings and his personal blessings and all of that. But I doubt seriously that they ever invited him to come into the synagogue because they were so careful. To keep out of the house, what they call the house of God, that which was not, according to their thinking, the way that God wanted them. But here's a man that he's busy, he's thinking, he's worried, he's concerned, he's hungry, but he can't find what to eat, what he wants to eat. He's come to the table time and time again, but there's nothing spread before him, to the extent that his heart is still unsettled. His heart is still not at a point where there's satisfaction within him. Oh, he's giving all that he has. He's giving all of the best that he has. And he's doing his best to be a good man in the community. And if we had a man like this, a member of our church today, we'd say that he is a fine person, an upright, and a gracious being. And so he would be. But just because a man happens to be fine and upright, just because he happens to be gracious, that doesn't altogether mean that he's a Christian. That doesn't altogether mean that he has found a place in the Lord that satisfies his heart and his very soul and makes him to be complete within himself, knowing that he has found peace with God. So this man is busy about doing the things that he thought God would have him to do. And how oftentimes we get busy trying to do the things that we think God wants us to do. But you know, there's a better way than that. There's a better way than trying to do what we think God wants us to do. There is a way of knowing of a surety that God has set forth thus and so, and in that we can find peace in the Lord. Now, this man was doing the very best he could do. Everything that he could do, he was doing it. He was going his full length. He was praying, and he was calling on the Lord. Let's see. In one of the verses, renditions or one of the repetition of this thing, he said, send to this man Peter, and he will tell thee words whereby thee and thy house shall be saved. So then this tells us that this man didn't have salvation, yet he was crying out to God. And remember now, we go back to the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, where he said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now then, we're coming back to the table tonight. The table is spread before us. It's laid out before us. And are we coming to this table? Now notice, this man, when the opportunity and the invitation really came to him, he was willing and eager and desirous to go to the table of the Lord and eat what was set before him. As he stood there with Simon in the midst and the presence of them, Simon Peter there, he said, "We want to hear all the things that God has commanded you to tell us that we ought to hear." And that should be the desire of every heart that comes into any church building, wherever it may be, where God is recognized, where God is worshipped, where the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. We want to hear the things that God has said for us to hear. We want to taste that. We want to eat that. For when we begin to eat the Word of God, when we begin to draw nigh to Him, when we begin to reach out to Him, He will bring to pass a thing that will make our soul satisfied deep within our very being. Thank God. Now notice this man, he was similar to, in a measure, like Saul of Tarsus. Saul said, "I was doing what I thought was fine. I was doing what I thought was right. Every time, everywhere I went, I was doing my best to please God. I was doing my best to please God." But he said, "Those things that I found out after I met Jesus Christ, those things I found out, they were not satisfying my soul. Back down in me, there was a longing, there was a lack, there was a need." And this man, all that he was doing, all that he was giving. And brother, you can say, "Well, you've got to give it to God," and so you have to. But you don't have to give it to God as a debt that you owe Him. I don't have to give it as a debt that I owe Him. Thank God forever, I owe Him myself. And when I give Him myself, everything I have goes with it. And it's not a debt, it's a gift to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This man was doing his best to please God by doing things, and he wasn't getting the job done. And how did he know he wasn't getting the job done? Because there was unsettled down deep in his heart. There was something wrong down deep inside. He was willing. He was willing to do anything he thought he could do. I don't know. Maybe he talked to the rabbis. Maybe he talked to some of the men that were professed Christians or something like that. Maybe they were telling him that he needed to do all these things. I don't know, because that background isn't told. But there was something in him that was urging him to do good. There was something in him that was urging him to go on out and do those things that he was doing. He wasn't doing it because he was forced to do it. He wasn't doing it. Why? You know, Jesus said in one place, and I may drop this in a little extra, as a little extra thought. He said, "When you've done all that you've commanded to do, then you still say that you're an unprofitable servant." Now you begin to think about that. Well, as long as we do only those things we are commanded to do, we are servants, we are bound, we do not have any freedom. But the very minute we go beyond what we are commanded to do and do something willingly over and above the commandment given to us, then we become free. Thank God we are free, because we are doing it of our own free will, our own free heart, our own free soul. This man was doing the best that he knew how. Thank God, though, as he went about his business, he was trying. And remember this, there was never a hungry soul but that God would hear that soul's cry. There was never a lonely heart but when he began to call out to God, the Lord would provide some way for him to find peace in his soul. Oh, yeah. And now, you say, "Well, you're preaching a sinner." No, I'm not preaching a sinner message. I'm talking about coming to a place where you and I can be satisfied in the Lord. God is the only one that can satisfy us. Yes. Brother Ledbetter can brag on us all he wants to. We can brag on him all we want to. But there's no satisfaction in that except for the moment that it is happening. Immediately thereafter, there is a lack in our hearts if we don't know Jesus Christ, you see. So So what this man was doing, let me calm down just a little bit. I don't want to talk too. What this man was doing, he was trying to earn his way into the kingdom of God. He knew there was something. You see, you go back to the first chapter of the book of Romans, and you can find that God had put in the heart of man that he needed to have God. He needed something from God. So this man recognized, though, finally, that it was a futile effort. He found out how futile he really was. He was doing all of this, and suddenly there comes walking into his room an angel from God. You see, God has a messenger to send to those who are hungry. God has a messenger to send to those who desire to know him. So here come the angel in and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer is heard. You know, he didn't say prayers as many, but prayer. Your prayer is heard. Saying, what was that prayer? He was trying to please God. He was trying to find God. Hallelujah. And when your heart and mind are praying and we're trying to find God, that prayer will be answered. Keep that in mind. Hallelujah. So he said, you send over there and get this man by the name of Simon Peter. And let him come over and he'll tell you some things that you need to know. He'll tell you, you see, God had a man over there a few miles away that he was preparing him. And while all this was going on, God was working on the other end of the line. Remember this. God never works on just one end. He works on both ends to pull them together to make them in a unity and faith before the Lord. Thank God. So this was working out, and these men went over to see about the situation. You know the story real well. And as they drew near to the house where Simon was staying, God let that man see something that opened his eyes, and let that man see something that opened his heart and opened his understanding. He had done the same thing over here to Cornelius. Cornelius had seen something that opened his understanding and opened his mind. Peter saw something and opened his understanding and opened his mind. And when the two come together, thank God forever, Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Thank God. So now then, he said, Cornelius said, well, I'm sure glad you come. I'm very happy that you've gotten here. Peter, I want to hear some things. See, here's all this group of people. I've gathered them around. I brought them in. I wanted them to hear the same message that was coming from me. I wanted them to get a hold of something that you have designed, that you told me that my desire could be fulfilled if I'd send and get Peter. So I brought them in here, and we're all here before you in the presence of the Lord. We want to hear what God has to say. Oh, that people would come to the house of God. Oh, that people would pick up the book of the Word of God. Oh, that people as it go to kneel to pray. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the Lord is going to say. Not man's idea, not man's program, but I want to hear from God. And thank God forever, as old Cornelius was sitting there, his spiritually, his mouth was wide open. His ears, thank God, would stretch a half a mile wide if it were possible. Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about, he was hearing every word that was spoken. He was drinking in and he was eating everything that Peter was saying, and all of a sudden his heart was fulfilled. All of a sudden his very soul stirred within, and the heavens came down and the power of God came on him, and he found what he'd been looking for. Hallelujah. Where did he find it? He listened to the word of God. He listened to the voice of that man whom God had sent over and told him to go tell Peter, tell Cornelius what he needed to hear. You and I have something like that before us, night after night, day after day, hour after hour, and we'll pick this up. As Brother Job mentioned a while ago, the word becomes a living reality when we read it with our hearts open before him. Not as a point of argument, not as maybe a point of just learning about the word of God, but as glory. Brother, when we come, because we want to hear his voice, we want to hear his word, we want to feast on his food that he has before us, he'll open that up and we can have the desires of our heart. That's how we come to him. Brother, that's every day. That's not just on Sunday. That's not just on Wednesday night, but every day of life we can have this fellowship with the Lord. And I can just see Cornelius and all of them. He said every one of them in there. What happened to them? That Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came upon them, and they began to magnify God and praise God and speak in tongues and worship and glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And brother, what happened to him? He was hungry, and he desired, and when they come to the table, hallelujah, they met him there, and he met him at the table of the Lord's Word. He said, that's mine. That's what I'm looking for. That's mine, Brother Joe. That's what the Lord said, that's mine. And he took it into his very being, and God magnified and honored the name of Jesus in that man's life. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord forever. What a great treasure it is for you. There was a man who was I haven't preached in quite a while, so you might as well talk a long time. Here was a man who was doing his best. And while his best was not yet good enough, God sent him the better thing. Thank God. He sent him the best. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
He found the Lord Jesus Christ and satisfied his soul with that wonderful, wonderful treasure. How was it in the book of Hebrews? Let's look there in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews just for a moment and see what I had these two sermons lined out here and I'm about to miss this one. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, at the 23rd and on to the 25th verse, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What did he say back in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, where he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some as some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. You see, this man wanted to draw near to God. This man wanted to. Therefore, your job and mine is to exhort and to reach out and to tell men and women about the wonderful things of God. This man had eager ears, and he had a hungry heart, and the Lord blessed him. Now, as I said, God had a man over there just waiting for this particular cause. You know, God has never left a people without having a messenger for those people to hear something about the love of God. Thank the Lord forever. Oh, you say, well, there are places in the world that God has never been mentioned. Well, then immediately we go to darkest Africa, and we forget the fact that the Ethiopian went down there many centuries ago, that he took the word down there with him. I don't know how far he went down in there. Thomas went to India, and there he was speaking, and he was made a martyr over there. And now they reject and turn away the word of God. How do we know this word has not already been preached to all the world? Paul said it has. Paul said it's been preached in all the world. So then you and I, it's our business to keep on carrying that word and carrying the glory of the word of God, that others may get hungry enough to hear and understand and come to Jesus Christ. Now, this is a great truth, if I could just get it out. Now, you remember this Ethiopian eunuch. I got to him a little early, didn't I? But this Ethiopian eunuch, remember this about him. He had spent some time in church. He was up to Jerusalem and spent, I don't know how long he'd been there. I don't know whether it was the Feast of the Passover that he'd been up there or not. But he went up there to worship. He'd been there all this period of time. He was going back home and he was still hungry. He was going back home and he was still feeling down in his heart, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Who will get me out of this thing? And he was pondering, and he read there in Isaiah, where that speaking of the Lord, his life was taken from him, and no man would declare his generation. And he was looking this over, and he's reading it out loud. They didn't read then like you and I do today. We pick it up and read silently. But he was riding along, and he was reading aloud. He wanted to hear the word of God. That's what old brother Walt used to say, I read it out loud because I want to hear it. And he was reading that word out loud, and Philip, by the grace and power of God and by the instruction of the Lord, you see, God had a man, down there, and he said, Philip, go join that chariot. And he went running over there. He heard him read this, and he said, understandest what thou readest? How can I except some man tell me? Who's going to tell you? Why, thank God, Philip, I could just hear him say, well, that's my job. I've come to do that. The Lord has sent me down here to do it. Did you know that we have to have this in our heart? The Lord has sent us to be a testimony of the love and grace of God and a witness of what His Word says. That man, Cornelius, he was a lonely, a tired, weary man, I imagine, in his soul, in his spirit, until Peter came and told him the news of Jesus Christ. This man going back down into Ethiopia was a weary man. He'd been trying to serve, been trying to worship, been trying to find out God's will, but he couldn't find it. He was still wandering. He was still searching and still looking, and God had a man there, and that man could speak the word of the living God, and it had fire. It had power. It had a drawing force in it. And this man is listening, and he said, well, here, wait a minute. There's some water right there. What doth hinder me that I could be baptized? And he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. Thank God. What did he hear? He heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he opened his heart. He ate what was set before him. He ate the meal that was there before him. He didn't stay there like this man Cornelius. Let's run back to him just for a moment. He didn't come up and he said, well, look, Peter, I've been giving all of my goods, and I've been helping the poor. I've been taking care of this and that and the other. Never mentioned a word about that. He was willing to eat what was before him and eat that which is good, and let thy soul delight itself in fatness. Thank God. And this man from Ethiopia, he gained a lot of weight about the time he came up out of the water. And this man that brought this good news to him, suddenly he was gone. But this man from Ethiopia, he went on his way rejoicing. What had he done? He had eaten the bread of life, thank God, and he had victory. He had understanding. He had the leadership of the power and glory of God in his heart and life.
That's good.
Hallelujah. And when he got back home, I know he didn't remain quiet. I know he didn't remain quiet. In fact, today, in this very hour, with the communist people pushing and crushing in onto Ethiopia, there's an area down there that was comes all the way back to this Ethiopian eunuch that went back down there and preached the gospel, and they are still holding to the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because one man obeyed God and went down, and another man heard and obeyed the word of God, and so the word still rose and turns and digs and guides and keeps the hearts of men and women tonight. Now, God's faithful. God's faithful. You haven't ever found him. Now, these men were hungry. They were really hungry. They weren't looking for something for social betterment. They weren't looking for something that's going to make them physically richer or poorer. They weren't concerned about that. Why, this man, Cornelius, was pretty high in society. He had all the social relationships that any man probably could want in his lifetime. This Ethiopian eunuch, he was the treasurer down there over the treasures of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So he had very high social standards and social standing as far as the world was concerned. But there comes a time when social standing doesn't meet the requirement. There comes a time when the plaudits of men are as hollow echoes in our empty barrel. There comes a time when the praises that are given to us in this present life, they mean absolutely nothing. And this man had heard that, I imagine, over and over again. Oh, what a wonderful treasure this man is. What a good man he is. Many of them falsely saying those things, but that was just ringing like a bell and gong like a great bell ringing off in the distance. It didn't sound right in his ears. But when he heard the voice of the word of the Lord, when he heard a man, thank God, that had the message of Jesus Christ, it didn't ring a bell in his head. It rang a bell in his heart. Thank God. It touched him down in the... Did you know that's where we need to be touched? We need to be touched. We strive so hard today to touch the intellectual man. We try so hard today to touch the physical man. But thank God for ever the Word of God touches the Spirit. And when the Spirit is touched, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ dwell in you. Thank God for ever He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. So what we need to do is let the Word of God touch the spirit of man. And then the outward man is going to be all right. And we try very hard to teach the outward man. We work real hard to teach him what he ought to do and what he ought. And that's all right. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not salvation. That's religion. Thank God for ever the Spirit of the Lord leadeth me, as you quoted in the 23rd Psalm. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Who did that? The Lord, my shepherd, did that. Thank God, and that's His business. We should be concerned about the spirit man. Oh, don't forget the natural man. That's part of the daily living. That's part of that. But the to make that man spiritual down inside, to know the Lord, that's the great calling of our lives. God's faithful. Isaiah 66 and 2 in the latter part of this, he said, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That's the man I'm going to look to. So it matters not how great we may be in the eyes of the world. It matters not how many thrones or kingdoms or things of that men might possess, nations they might rule in this present world, until that heart becomes tender before the Lord. Until that heart, now let's bring it down home. It matters not how often we come to church. Don't say I told you don't come. I didn't say that. I'm talking about an experience with the Lord. It matters not how often we come to the church. It really doesn't make a lot of difference how many times we come down to the altar as such. Keep this in mind, as such. But when we come with a trembling and a broken spirit, when we come with a heart that is hungry, when we come in contact with Him who created all things, there at the altar of prayer we'll meet Him. There we'll find Him. And hallelujah, when we find Him and we come in contact with Him, our souls are enlarged, our hearts are lifted up, and the glory of God floods our souls and the joy. You see, these men that we've been talking about, they were coming to the Lord. They were on their way to the Lord, and suddenly there He was. Suddenly there He was. God is faithful. He could see that man Cornelius, that he was a centurion. He had 100 soldiers under him. He could command them, just like one told Jesus up there before He was crucified. I say this and He goes, you go and He goes, come, He comes, do this, He does that. He had command over those, but that was a hollow command. It didn't satisfy Him. But when He heard Jesus say, thank God for the Lord, our Cornelius, you send and you do and you obey. And there He found the joy that His heart was longing for. Say tonight when we begin to think about that, what that means to you and to me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 5, verses 4, verse 24 means, faithful is He that calleth, and He will do it. Faithful. You see, how did Cornelius know that he needed God? Somewhere, somehow, some way, he had come in contact with the Word of God. How did the Ethiopian eunuch know? He was reading in Isaiah, the sweet singer of Israel that spake so many times of the coming of the Master. He was hungry to see who that was. He was hungry to find out what that was all about. And God showed it to him. Now, let's see how quickly the Lord fills our desires. That's why I say when we come to the Lord, it doesn't have to be a great long prayer, but it can be a prayer of faith and love before God. And He said, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Which heard the word. Now, I'm not talking about just with these natural ears. But as that word came, it went down deep in their heart, down deep in here, they heard the voice of the Lord say, I sent Jesus, and He bore your sins and sorrows. He was crucified. He was lifted from the grave the third day. Thank God he sent it back to heaven. Hallelujah. And he prayed me, and I sent the Holy Ghost back down here. And here he is. Here he is. Hallelujah. And while Peter was speaking these words, God's power fell on the hearts of them that were hungry. You read what Peter said, and if that's all he said, he didn't get to talk very long. If that's all a length of sermon that he had, it was just a very few minutes until the power of God fell on the whole group, and the Holy Ghost was manifest, and they received power that their hearts and lives needed. And now one other thought, and this again comes back. You remember in Mark 10 chapter, verses 46 through 52, that's just the setting of it. Blind Bartimaeus. Remember the story of Bartimaeus. He was a man that was blind. He was a man that was helpless. He was a man that was without comfort of any kind. He was a beggar. A beggar. Now, when we come down to this point, he had heard about Jesus. And when he heard about Jesus, you see, the table is spread before him now. Here is the table spread before him. He could have gone along with all the Pharisees. He could have gone along with all the Sadducees, all the Herodians, and all of that, and said, well, there's nothing to him. There's not anything that I could get from him. He could have gone along that way, but he didn't. He didn't. He began to cry with a loud voice, Jesus, thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. After, you remember the story, how that they tried to quieten him, tried to settle him down, and tried to get him to behave himself. Did the devil, when you come to talk to Jesus, did he ever come up and say, well, won't you hush? There's no need of telling him about that. No need of talking about that. It wouldn't do any good anyhow. The devil ever try to do that to you? He's always busy at that sort of thing. But this man refused to be intimidated. He refused to be rejected. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, a louder than he did before, have mercy on me. And the Lord said, come. And they brought him. And as he got there, thank God forever, they said, Jesus asking me what he wanted. He said, what would you that I do for you? What do you want? That's what the Lord's asking every one of us here tonight. What do you want? This man, he had a real purpose for coming. He had a reason for coming. He wasn't coming for fun. He wasn't coming just to make a show. He wasn't coming to join a crowd down around the altar. But he was coming to Jesus. And when he met him there, he said, what would you that I do for you? What would you want me to do? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want you to do that for me. I'm blind. And he could see that he was blind. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thank the Lord. Can you see the table is spread tonight? And Jesus is calling to you and to me, to every one of us. What would you that I would do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Cornelius wanted to find the way of salvation. The eunuch going down to Ethiopia, he wanted to find a better thing than he had. And blind Bartimaeus wanted to see. You see, Jesus could take a heathen. The Roman world was counted as heathen. He could take that heathen and bring him right into the kingdom of God. He could take that religious man that was going to church regularly according to the dictates of the times. He could take him and bring him right into the presence and the filling of the Spirit and power of God. He could take that blind man whom people looked down upon, whom people rejected, whom people turned away, and say unto him, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. What do you want from the Lord tonight? That's what I'm trying to say, just a simple little statements, one after another. Thank God, what do you want from Jesus tonight? You have to tell God what you want. You have to make your own. You see, when blind Bartimaeus came, he didn't go up to Peter and say, Peter, tell the Lord I want to be healed. Oh, yes, it's fine to come to pastor. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about that. I mean when you and I come to be prayed for, we also have to unite in that prayer of faith and say, Lord, I want this in my heart and life. And then the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and he'll bless. He'll set at liberty, and he'll loose and set free when you come to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you'll have what your heart desires. Thank the Lord. And I could go on, but I'm gonna let you loose tonight to this extent. If you want something from Jesus, you come to him. You come to him. You call on him, and you believe him. You see, there was another time that a man came to Jesus with his little son that was so terribly beset of the devil. And Jesus said, believest thou that I can do this? And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, God has a way prepared. He could see that hunger in that heart. He could see that desire in that papa's heart. I want my son to be all right. He could see the hunger in that blind man. I want my eyes to open so I can see. He could see the hunger in the heart of that religious man. Oh, I want to be free down inside. And he could see the heart of that heathen. I want to make peace with God and know that my soul is all right with him. What do you want tonight? Whatever you need, whatever you desire. And I wanted to use as a text. I'll bring my text last of all. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. What would you want from the Lord tonight? The table is spread. The plate is set. The chair is there. Will you join at the table of the Lord and eat to your heart's content? And you'll go away satisfied tonight. Not one of these that I told you about went away dissatisfied. They had just exactly what they needed and longed for in their heart. Brother Kirk, I'll turn back to you.